Welcome to the Talk with Tori podcast. I'm your host, Tori Jones, and I'm so glad that you're here. It's time to have some fun. On each episode, I will chat with a friend and we will share random life topics, tips and tricks, fun stories, and more serious stories filled with some real talk to make you laugh, maybe cry, make you think, but most of all, bring a smile to your face. We all have a story to share, so I hope you enjoyed this one. So grab your favorite Starbucks, a glass of wine, water, I don't care, you do you, girl, because it's time to peel back the layers and add a little spice to it. We're live, girl!
Okay.
AJ, I'm so excited to get to chat with you on Talk with Tori. Thank you for being here.
I am so thrilled, Tori. And honestly, you're obviously a few time zones ahead of me. I'm on the West Coast. And when I got your text, I was still in bed and I came across my watch and it just Tori. And I had this feeling, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I get to be on Talk with Tori.
Oh my God. So I felt it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I felt it too. You know, I've had a list of people. I mean, it's a long story how I started the podcast. You know, this was my dream my entire life. When I was 6 years old, I came up with the name Talk with Tori. I mean, and that's what I always wanted to be a talk show host. So I made a list of like 50 people, you know, years ago when I thought about it. And then I chickened out so many times and you've always been on the list. So I'm glad we finally get to do this. You've always been on the list. So y'all, let me tell you how I know KJ. KJ is like the best. She's like a total boss, babe, girl boss. She's my sister. Y'all know all the Kappa Delta sisters. She's wearing a Kappa Delta sweatshirt and I freaking love it. Katie for life, man. I love that. And so we know each other because she was a Katie consultant. How many years before me?
Oh my gosh, I don't even want to say because it's just so embarrassing. I traveled from 08 to 09. So.
Okay, well, that's when I started college. So that's when I started college. So I traveled 2012 to 2014 because I did 2 years. Mm-hmm. So that's when I was like, wait, how far? And then it seems so crazy because I'm like, so much life has happened since then that it's like, at the time, like that was like everything. And then now I'm like, I'm over here just living and everything. So it's kind of cool, y'all, that the consultants are like a family, like a true sisterhood. Actually, KJ, next weekend, The Nook, I know you remember The Nook. We were like a girl gang. They're coming to Auburn next weekend. So it's like a really cool thing because everyone's kind of like a sisterhood no matter what year that you did it. And KJ, we'll talk about her previous career, you know, throughout the conversation, but she trained us. So I really got to know her and we got to travel some together to conventions and things. Y'all, I can't wait for y'all to get to know her. She's like the funnest of the fun and so knowledgeable and really just shares her life, which to me is one of the best qualities about her because so many people keep everything a secret and we have a story to share. And if we share our story, it's only going to help people. And she's a total girl's girl, which I love that because I'm a total girl's girl. Let me ask you this, KJ. I didn't even think about this before, but I tell my brothers this all the time. I'm like, you know, I had brothers growing up. I didn't have sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Still a girl's girl. I mean, my friends were girls. Do you ever feel like it's so weird when girls are like, I don't have any girlfriends. I don't like girls.
So I'm going to get super deep right away. I think people who are like, I don't hang out with girls. I'm not a girl's girl. I think that it's like a reflection of two things. I think it's like a reflection of their girlfriends when they were going through developmental years, like burned them somehow. Cause like we all were not shining stars in our teen years, you know, or preteens. And we weren't always sweethearts and we were kind of mean. And so I think number one, they either got burned by a girl group or number two, I think that they just, I don't believe them. Like, I think that when they're like, I'm not a girl's girl, I don't have girlfriends. I'm like, oh, just you wait. You know, you're
only getting better. And I used to tell my brothers, I was like, listen, I remember my brother dated this one girl and she was like, yeah, I don't really roll with girls. And I was like, listen, brother, that's the ultimate red flag, baby. You better run or you better find her girl gang. And y'all, I would tell you this because if you don't have that girl gang, you find one because it makes the biggest difference in your whole life and really changes who you are. So I love that, KJ. I love that.
And okay, just to go back to the consultant program, we're like a big old family and we have the craziest stories. I think that's the thing that I love. It's like, I just don't, I think people, you just live the wildest life for a year and nobody ever gets it except each other. And it's just like, it's one of those things that when you've gone through that war zone, only you can, only you can relate to others, you know.
I look back and I'm like, I literally sold my soul.
Sold my soul.
Every part of me. I mean, like, I just remember, like, Friday night, like, you didn't even know what a weekend was. I remember starting my first job at Auburn when I moved here right after I was a consultant. And they were like, okay, see you Monday. And I was like, what do you mean, see you Monday? What is a weekend? Like, I didn't even know what it was. Like, oh my God, the craziest. What's a day off?
What's a weekend? What is a balance? Because I think as bad as that sounds, that experience shaped my career and shaped my work ethic even today. Even today, I think that whole thing shaped me for sure. But
I tell anyone, if you have, which it's so sad that there's no consultants this year. Like, I hate that for those girls. So I hope they get some kind of experience like that. But if you can do a job like that, mm-hmm. you can do any job and you can be put through any situation that has been thrown your way. And we're going to talk about life in a little bit, but man, if you can figure it out with these crazy girls. And the craziest thing is there's so many shenanigans that happen.
Oh yeah.
But it all seems like normal every day. It like doesn't even seem so out of the ordinary at the time. But then when you look back, you're like, that was so not normal.
I have so many stories that I can tell, but I'm just like, that's not a good one. Oh, that's a bad one.
Well, gotta keep it.
I think the like classic, when I was at Wake Forest, they didn't feed me for 48 hours.
What?
Yeah, that never happened to you. I was at Wake Forest. And so recruitment ended and I needed to be there for their first kind of step of initiation. We call it first degree in Katy Land. And they wanted me to go to that, but it was like 48 hours later. So bid day ends. And nobody came back to my door until that first degree initiation. And it was 48 hours later. I was just in a dorm room, like no food. Like, it's cool.
I remember, you know, it was so fun staying at the chapter house with the girls, but I remember when you got a hotel, it was like as if you were in Disneyland. It was like, I would just lay in my bed naked. Whoa. Like, I'm loving life. I remember it was so fun. So, okay. Well, this was fun. I love talking about consultant life, but y'all, I'm so excited to be able to talk to KJ. She has so much knowledge. She's so open and just has a really inspiring story of so much hope. And knowing that it's never too late to start a good life and make pivots. And honestly, in 2020, we got to all do it.
All do it. Every one of us. I mean, I think 2020 is, so here's a little inside to Tori's life, everyone. I asked her to just send me like a couple of prompts, a couple of directions she wanted the conversation to go into. Cause you know, I could talk for an entire day and well into the night. And I was like, okay, tell me what you want. But one of the things she asked is, you know, how do you get through this hard stuff? And I honestly, Tori, I wrote down like flexibility is so important. And there's a difference between being flexible with yourself, and having expectations with yourself, but being flexible with the world and not having expectations of the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just, that is one thing that this past 5 years have taught me is like, I have high expectations of myself. I expect, you know, the way I treat people, the way I carry myself, the way I strive for things is really, I really have high expectations of myself, but I'm really flexible with the world. I don't expect the world to work at that perfect moment. So maybe that goal I had for today is not going to happen because the world was not having it today. And I think that's
such a good perspective. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm like you, I always have high expectations for myself. I always want to perform at the best of my ability and, you know, work as hard as I can and know that when I put my head down on the pillow, I accomplished things. I did what I needed to do. I performed at my best and, you know, was doing my mission and doing my passion, but the world isn't always on our side. And that's just life. I love that. So Yeah. Kenja, will you just introduce yourself to us? Tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, and maybe a fun story or fun memory, or maybe something random that you just want everyone to know about you.
So, okay. You've probably heard this already. A very important part of my identity is I was born and raised in Washington State and went to school out here. Biggest life-changing moment of my entire life was working for my sorority headquarters, which it's so weird because when you grow up and you exit the world of sorority and you tell people that that's what I did, it's almost embarrassing to say. It's almost like I worked for my sorority, but it was really cool and it was an amazing experience. And so that just opened my eyes to the whole world. This is humiliating, but on the West Coast, we don't even know what the rest of the country is. You know, we could identify Florida on a map, but I was going to states that I didn't know where I was supposed to, like, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what time zone I was supposed to be in. I remember I was on a flight to Missouri, which Missouri's call letters as a state is M-O. And I was like, why am I going to Montana? Like, I literally got that. And so it just really helped me expand my horizons and see the world from somebody who was well-traveled and somebody who wasn't really sheltered. My family didn't shelter me, you know, but it was like a really pivotal journey for me because it was during the 2008, like 3 days before the 2008 election, and Barack Obama spoke there and I got to go with the students to go watch Barack Obama. Yeah. 3 days before he was elected. And so it was just amazing. And so that experience prompted me to apply to go to school there. And cause I knew I wanted to go to graduate school and continue to push myself and challenge myself. And I went to graduate school at the University of Missouri, and it was really interesting, Tori. And I know you've had ups and downs in your life as well. It's the ups and downs are really fascinating to me. And I think that's why 2020 for me it's been hard for sure. I've definitely gone through like my fair share of challenge and depression and sadness and questioning, but I think that just looking back, it's really taught me a lot because being at Mizzou at grad school, I was severely, like, I would say I was depressed. I was really unhappy, and I was unhappy for so many reasons, but like just being away from my family and being in a place where, because everything in my life, it's been so easy for me to get to know people and relate to people and develop amazing relationships. And I don't know why, but I did not translate in that state the way that I thought I was going to. And so I really struggled. All of graduate school, I struggled. And I didn't struggle academically, and I didn't struggle but I just was constantly, the type of person I am is I'm constantly trying to make myself better and also trying to make the thing I work with better, you know? And I think that's very similar to you, Ms. Tori. But after that, I wanted to work and I wanted to get a job. And so I was encouraged by another sorority sister of ours, Megan Ogar, now Noble. I know, so good. She's so good. She works at Kinder Scott, y'all. She's the best. And she encouraged me to apply for this job with this company. And it was a speaking company for Greek students. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll do this. And so I got the job, fortunately, after being denied the first time and begging them to.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even make it to like in-person interviews.
Which now you're like a dynasty. So it just shows you'd never give up.
I know. Thanks for saying that because, you know, I never want to be like toot my own horn. But it's so funny because I was just in this weird phase of my life where I wasn't translating. And so if you're in a phase in your life where you're not translating, like it will pass. So don't worry. So I started this job speaking for a company, traveling all over the country to sorority women. And that changed so much of my life, changed so much of who I am in that experience. I've spoken in so many states. I can't even tell you how many.
All 50?
No, I haven't been to Alaska. And I never spoke in Hawaii. And then randomly enough, I know I never spoke in South Dakota. I spoke in North Dakota.
I went to North Dakota, yeah.
Yeah, girl. But yeah, I literally spoke in almost every state, and it just taught me how to transition who, not change who I am, but how to change what I'm saying to relate to other people. It taught me how to understand people where they're coming from. And it taught me how to really just not, I know this is stupid, but not judge. Cause you really, you cannot help but look at the world from your own lens. And that experience taught me to look at it first from another person's lens, because you're not going to be effective unless you see it from their lens first. And so I was uber successful. I don't know how to say this without sounding overly.
Say it, girl.
I was probably like for 3 years in a row, I was booked over 100 days a year, which I think is my company I worked for had never really seen that before. And our industry had never seen that before. Like I was a thing. And so backtrack, that's my professional life. But personally, in that time, this is my new platform, Tori. In that time, graduate school, I was really not myself, you know? I just told y'all I was not translating. And during that time, I met a guy, and I figured it was the right choice to get married to him and to do that. And after 5 years of me traveling like a crazy person, I learned that was just, I didn't know if I was traveling that much and saying yes that much because I wanted to work that hard, or because I didn't want to be who I was at home, you know? And I think that that's a really hard thing to say. And I think so often when we hear of marriages not working, people, there's always like cheating or there's always like money, or there's always some excuse. And it's just like, at the end of it, it's just when I married that person and I was the smallest version of myself. Yeah. When I grew into a bigger version of myself, neither of us knew what to do. You know, when I grew into who I was meant to be. But I remember when my girlfriend said to me, when she got married very young, and I was like, why are you doing this? And she goes, I was like, you're not done growing yet. You have to grow into who you are. And she's like, I know, but we want to grow into who we are together. And I was like in love with that. That's so beautiful. And that's just not the attitude and mindset that I brought to my first marriage. And I brought this mindset of like, I'm 27, I've got a career, I'm an adult, I know who I am. Even though I never gave myself like any pause thinking, you have 75 years left on this planet. You're probably going to change, you know? Yeah. And I never really communicated that to him. I tried to fit into the life we were supposed to fit into when I was home. And then when I was gone, I felt like I could breathe. Yeah. And I knew it for a long time. And so going through my divorce, was so hard for me because I was failing, and I was purposely failing. I threw in the towel. I quit, and I've never quit anything in my life. I always hammer through hard projects. And so I think that that's why it took me so long. It's because I didn't want to fail and I didn't want to quit. So all the women out there and men who are listening to this, I just think we're so afraid of failing and walking away that we put ourselves and other people at a lot of harm, a lot of risk. So I wish I hadn't have done that to young me and to that man, because he deserved better, you know? And so at the end, we got a divorce, and it was absolutely 100% the best thing for both of us. So, so happy. Sorry, not to get so sad right away, but very important.
No, I appreciate you sharing. I mean, I love that you just said, I mean, I thought one of the best things you said was we want to grow together, and how you didn't have that in your first marriage. And I think so often that's the best advice for marriage, but for people in general, when you're making those types of decisions, because a lot of people listening to this, you know, they're married or they're mm-hmm. newly married, or they're deciding if they want to get married or mm-hmm. what type of mate that they want. And, you know, you're going to change. I mean, yeah. That's just life. And so, right. Tell us kind of where your life is now and what that's looking like.
Yeah. So I currently will go backwards and we'll go back into the, into the middle part. But right now I own a Pure Bar studio. So Pure Bar is a fitness brand. And it's one of the most popular, well-known, successful and effective bar fitness brands in the country, I would say, which is why I selected to go into this. And so I started this studio in January of 2020 is when we officially opened.
That's a crazy time to start. Wow.
We were closed in March of 2020 for the COVID pandemic. And then we reopened again with so many different parameters and all of this, but we are moving and grooving. We are trucking right along right now, which feels like I can finally take a breath. But so I opened the studio on my own. I got a loan from a bank. I think a lot of people in business, we get really afraid of doing it because we're like, I don't have family money, or I don't have a partner, a business partner, and I don't have any of those things. You know, I really wanted to do this on my own. I really wanted to prove to myself that I could do this. And so I opened the studio, and I am married to a man who, his name's Austin, and him and I are surviving this crazy, crazy together. And also we are expecting our first son in March of 2021. So we are really excited about that. But it's funny because Tori was talking a couple seconds ago about being a girl's girl, and I am a girl's girl. And the minute I knew I was pregnant, Tori, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, it's a boy. Like I just knew it was a boy. I had that instinct, that gut, like telling me. And so we did like a little cut the cake, figure out what it is, because my sister made us a cake thing, and we cut it, and I was like, oh, it's definitely a boy. We already knew this. We weren't even surprised. It wasn't even like a fun video, you know? And then that night I had a full blown panic attack. I kept rolling over and waking up Austin and be like, is he even going to like me? Cause I'm just so afraid that I know what to do with girls. I know how to talk to them. I know how to hang out with them. And I'm like, he's just going to think I'm so weird. You know, I don't want him to talk to like
them. I think girls are the best boy moms.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I had a total panic attack that night. I was like, oh my God.
And that's like so normal. I think so often everyone always acts like, I'm so excited about XYZ, but people like don't admit like, it's okay to freak out. And
yeah,
you know what? Like, it's okay to have to learn and adjust, but you're going to learn so much from boys. I mean, I loved having brothers growing up, but I think girls are good boy moms.
It's so funny because now everyone knows the ending. I had panic attacks my entire first marriage about like, is it the right time? Is it the right time? And I was panicking, Tori, about like, how am I going to do my job that gives me so much, that feeds my soul so much, and have a baby? Can I be pregnant on a stage talking to a whole bunch of so cool, fun, hot, attractive women who just got done with paternity formal, you know, and I'm sitting there pregnant, which is like the opposite of what these women want. Like these women are actively making sure they're not getting pregnant, and I'm pregnant. I'm the opposite of what they want to be. And I just panicked and panicked and panicked. And now that I'm where I'm at today, I realize it's because the only joy I had in my life at that time was my career. And I love my career right now, but I also, there's so much more joy in my life that if my career takes a back seat for a little bit, I'm still going to be so happy. Does it make sense? And like,
you're gonna be the greatest mom. I'm so excited. And that's so true. Like, I think when you find joy in a lot of areas of your life, you just realize that nothing's going to be a burden anymore. It's only going to enhance you and make you a better version of yourself. Yeah. So
you'll know it's the right time when you realize that, but taking a step back from my career, taking a step back from the work I do with this volunteer group, or taking a step back from this is not going to make my life any less quality. Like it's not going to,
I agree.
Yeah. So I didn't have that feeling until, Austin and I got married. And then I was like, wow, okay,
Okay, well, like moving forward a little bit. So when this episode goes live, it's going to be 2021.
Yes.
And each new year to me, like obviously to everybody, it symbolizes new beginnings, a fresh start. You know, when you were in January 2020, you know, that was a big year for you and a big time. Yes. And then we know that this year was really hard. Like you talked about, you know, it wasn't the hardest year maybe of your life, but you know, you went through depression, sadness, all the emotions. Mm-hmm. And so none of us have a clue what 2021 will bring. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of us, like people like, get me to 2021, but then part of me is like, is it going to be that different? I mean, we really don't know because who knew what our life was going to bring. And honestly, every year of my life, there's always things that happen that are very unexpected. So what does a new year mean to you? And then do you have any small habits that you do that you want, that you encourage people to implement to make them have a better start to their year?
Yes. And so, okay. 2020 was not my best New Year's resolution year because I literally was opening the business and my whole goal was to just not fail.
Pretty big check off the list.
Let's not fail. But usually I am so great about just creating some really actual achievable kind of resolutions. I love resolutions. I love like setting an intention for your year and sending. You talked a couple seconds ago about your mission statement. And I think every single year of your life, you have a chance to put something on the plate and take something off the plate. And so I've always been adamant about when starting a new year, picking up something that is going to help you grow, help you become the person you want to be, whether that's like committing yourself to learning, committing yourself to a health challenge, committing yourself to just being more communicative with your partner, or even like balancing your budget in any way. Like it's, and then I'm really, really big about putting a process into place that's actually going to help you achieve it. So whether you're an app person and you like to log everything in your app, or like I'm a big writer downer, I like to write everything down. And I like, so I'm such a huge supporter of do something for yourself, take some time in between that Christmas holiday and the New Year's holiday, and just get your head on right and make the year matter to you. It's so easy to go through year by year by year, focusing on what you don't have. Austin and I have been working a lot on this lately. Yeah. Focusing on what you don't have and where you want to be, but instead find a way to focus on what you do.
Yeah. Well, I heard the sermon, actually, I heard a few weeks ago with my church. They said, be thankful because someone's always praying for what you have. They're not praying for what you don't. And I was like, that is so true. So many people want what I have and they're not even thinking about what I don't. I'm thinking about what I don't.
Yes. Yeah. And we are so focused on like, I mean, this is so cheesy, but the half full, half empty glass. Yes. We're so focused on what's empty that we don't focus on how we're filling the glass every day. Does it make sense? Like we don't focus on the little things that are like, we are accomplishing and we are getting done and we are investing in ourselves and we are investing into our relationship or our family. And I just think that if there's any way you could just give yourself a small little win, like I forget. Yeah. Like a couple of years ago, I had 5 daily like things I wanted to do for 2019. One was like drink this much water. Another one was make sure I like walked this many steps or miles or whatever. And they were like little things that were so comfortable, but at the end you looked at this thing and you really did it. And instead of me focusing on the fact that I didn't lose the weight or I didn't do this or that, I just got to focus on all the little tiny things I did get to do.
So some things that I do, I have this thing, I don't know if you've heard of the Daily Deposit Journal. It's from Guide Culture. It's like this like sales organization, like company, but my friend told me about it. And basically you do like at the top, you put what you're thankful for. The next you put what you're learning. Then you put a game day list. You put 5 things you want to accomplish that day and then 3 affirmations. And so, but then at the end of the day, you count your wins and your losses. So you count like, okay, I got these 3 out of 5 done. But it's like just easy ways for me to be affirmed in like who I am, but then be thankful for what I have. And then also it like makes me accomplish more. Like I have you on there, you know, KJ interview. So when I'm done, I'll check it off the list. And it just makes you at the end of the day feel like, okay, I got something done today, or like, okay, I need to do that tomorrow, or okay, I'm actually a good person, or what is happening. Yeah. And then I always pick a word every year. Have you ever done that?
I never have. Oh my gosh. Tell me everything.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've picked everything from like peace or present. Like one year I did present, like be more present in my life. And then I break it down with every aspect of my life. So like, okay, well, when I'm at work, I need to be doing this more or need to be doing this. And it just like helps me kind of like find something. So if you've never done a word or like done a thankful list or done like you said, have five things that you want to accomplish every day. Like, I just think that stuff holds you accountable, but also makes you feel accomplished. And I think that makes you have a better day.
Right.
So talking about having a better day, do you have a happy place?
Okay. So this is one of your question prompts that I was like, man alive, I don't know. So I think if I were to have a happy place, this is so cheesy. I think my happy place is my family's home. So my family has a beautiful little chunk of land out here, and you can see like the Olympic mountain range, and you can see a little strip of the Hood Canal. And so you can see all this beautiful stuff from there. And it has just always been my solace. It's always been where I've gone when I just need peace. It reminds me of like how how we have everything we need already.
Yeah.
And it really, I think the one thing that this year has taught me is what you don't need. I don't know if this is so cheesy, but it taught me like, you know, like getting one more really cool nonstick pot, you know, isn't really necessary, you know? And I like, it's just like this year taught me that I already have everything I need. I have that in like myself. I have everything I need in my family. I have everything I need in the people around me. And only put stuff in my life that really, really feeds me instead of putting stuff in my life that I think I need to have, you know? And so that my parents' home just reminds me of that. I don't know. It's really cheesy, but it's like, so we have berries, we have flowers, we have like, there's horses. Like it's just this really natural, beautiful place. And it just reminds you like, and every time I go there, I'm so at peace and I'm so happy and time flies. And it just teaches me that I have everything I need. I don't, you know, and then on that very opposite end of the spectrum, Tori, I feel like Nordstrom could be my happy place. So,
Nordstrom always, shopping is always a happy place. There's something about retail therapy. I don't know what it is, but it makes me happy.
Well, so, okay. And also when you have a baby, you have so much more to shop for. Oh my gosh. It's overwhelming.
Okay. Kids' clothes are way cuter than adult clothes. Are you like already obsessed with all the cute boy clothes?
Yeah. Yesterday I found this like tiny, teeny, tiny little newborn size, little sweatshirt. And I sent it to Austin. I sent a picture of it and I was like, what even is this? You know what I mean? Like it's so cute. Oh gosh. But I haven't allowed myself to go full fledged yet because I'm like, there's things I really need. Like a high chair. They're expensive.
I know, that's the expensive stuff. And that's not even the cute stuff. Like, no. I know. Well, I'm obsessed with kids that match. So my husband hopes that he said he's going to put me on a kid budget, like a kid's clothing budget, because I'll be like, oh, they need this and this. Cause like, I love matching. I'll probably want to match them too. And the dog and everything else. So
and everything.
Everything, all of us, all the matching. I mean, that's what you do in the South. So it's probably a little bit different than the West Coast, but in the South, everyone matches. So one of my favorite things about you, KJ, and I said this earlier, you've always been super open about sharing your life and sharing your struggles and sharing the real, whether it's the good, the bad, the hard. And it's really encouraged a lot of people. It's always encouraged me because there's not a lot of people anymore that do that. There really aren't. I think people are becoming more open because they realize how much it helps. Mm-hmm. But you know, walk us through how your life has changed over the last 10 years and why you share your life with others. What the reasoning is.
So, okay. I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this before, but a couple years ago, I got to go to a convention for Kappa Delta, and at that convention, there's this speaker there, and she works for an entertainment channel like E, but not E, because I feel like E is the pinnacle, you know, E for entertainment or whatever they're called. But so she's definitely interviewed a lot of celebrities and been around a lot of really famous people. And she's a member of Kappa Delta. And so the whole sorority was so excited that she was going to come be at convention. That was like a big, big deal for her and for us, because we had this person who had rubbed elbows with every celebrity in the book, you know. And she spoke on stage this whole time and said all this stuff, and had this captive audience of people I care so much about. I mean, I care so much about young women just because I feel like we need really, really, really good mentors. And I feel like young women just need really, really, really honest advice. And
yes,
we don't always provide that to them. And we fill them up with like fluff and sunshine and motivational quotes, but then we don't really back it up, and we're not there. I don't know. So I'm really passionate about that. So I watched her do this whole speech, and then at the very end, there's a Q&A, a question and answer. And this young college member came up to a microphone in a room full of, you know.
Oh, so they Q&A'd in front of everyone.
In front of everyone, yeah. Wow. 2,000 people went into a microphone, like, in the middle of this huge aisle. Like, you know, and she literally had the guts to say in this microphone, "Can you tell us the story, the journey of how you found confidence? Because you're such a confident person. And, like, how did you get to where you are today? Like, what advice do you have for us?" And I mean, it's just such a hard question to answer. And it's just something that, I mean, I could talk about for 3 hours again, but the speaker in that moment said, "I just stopped caring about what people thought of me." Literally, she's like, having babies was really hard because people really judged me a lot. And I think what she was talking about is weight gain. But I don't know what she was talking about. She didn't elaborate. She didn't say, you know, "I gained a lot of weight when I had my children because that's the right thing to do for my babies. And I almost lost my job." Like, she didn't go that deep. She just said, "Having babies was really tough. And eventually I just stopped caring about what other people said."
And that was it.
That's it. And Tori, that like broke my heart. What I wanted to do is I wanted to like rip up on that stage and be like, "Okay, everybody, that was a total joke of an answer. We're not going to." And so from that moment on, I just promised myself I'd always be honest, whether it was ugly or whether it wasn't. And I just wish somebody had been really honest with me, when I was younger, about like the fact that I didn't need to feel cure. And like, I didn't need to do all these things that I did because I was not confident or whatever, fill in the blank. I was not enough in my own mind. And so I've just always, the past 10 years, I have been terrified. I've been so scared. I've been on top of the world. I've been so assured in myself that I could succeed. And I have just learned, we just need to be honest with each other and with ourselves. And until you're honest with yourself, you're not going anywhere. It's taken me a lot of work, a lot of help, a lot of therapy, a lot of counseling, a lot of really hard conversations with friends to realize that you have two choices. You can be a light in somebody's world, or you can just be another person who smiles and pretends like you've never experienced what they're experiencing. Yeah. And so I believe in the power of vulnerability. I believe in the power of vulnerability with your partner. I believe, like, if you're not honest with your husband, you know, this, like, your marriage is going to fail. And if you're not honest with yourself, and I've learned it even again this year, like, if I'm not honest with myself about where I'm at financially with my business, like, I'm going to fail.
What was the hardest thing you went through?
When I got divorced, before it was finalized, the company I worked for had like talked to me about moving out to Indiana. And so I was living in Missouri at the time. And so I made the decision that I really wanted to progress with this company. And I was very successful there. I was very happy. And I decided to move. I decided to move to Indiana and to continue my career because that was the thing that was feeding me at that time. And then my husband at the time decided not to come. And we had had really tough conversations about that. But I lived for 6 months alone in this home that I really couldn't afford because it was supposed to be for both of us. And in a city working, and I moved for a job and I left a marriage, which is like, I had to sit and ask myself, is that what I want? Do I want to put work before my family? And that 6 months broke me into a thousand different pieces and glued me back together into who I am today. And I wanted it to hurt, Tori, because I didn't want to get a divorce that didn't hurt. Does it make sense? Like, I didn't want to pretend like I was fine. I didn't want to just immediately jump on the dating scene or the dating app scene or whatever. I wanted to sit in it and I wanted to get through it. I wanted to get through the storm. And so the fastest way I could imagine getting through the storm was just sitting, you know, and I wanted to do it right because I never wanted to fail again. So yeah. I think that was the hardest thing I've ever experienced, is like letting this thing that I'd worked so hard to build just disintegrate in my hands.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And I know it's probably not easy. anytime I talk about parts of my life that were the hardest times, like even though I've grown so much and my life is a lot better in a lot of ways, it still just brings back so much raw because you think back how hard that was and how you hope nobody else would have to go through that. And so do you have any advice of how to get through things? If, you know, if somebody's really feeling alone or, in the trenches, trying to make big decisions or struggling, like what are some of the best things that you did to get through hard times?
So number one, I think you have to have a group of people that you can be 100% honest with that aren't afraid of the dark. And I say that in all seriousness, like friends who are not afraid of the dark. I had a group of just like three or four people who knew exactly what was going on day by day, like allowed me to cry. One of them is, she's such a good friend of mine. She's actually a Pi Phi. Her name is Helen. And Helen... Yeah, she just sat in the dark with me. And so I remember one day, I was sitting at home in my house in Indiana and I started to get like panicky, like sad, like just going into a weird spot. And I remember I just called her and I was like, I'm not doing okay. And she's like, cool, come over. We'll spend the whole weekend together. And she like made us appointments for the spa and she made us like, she had a whole agenda. And I spent the whole weekend with somebody who wasn't afraid of like the fact that I was going through something tough. And there are people in your life who are really going to be ready for you to go through your tough stuff. And there are people in your life who aren't going to be ready for you to go through your tough stuff. And that's okay. That doesn't mean they can't be a part of your life later.
The most common thing in all the interviews I've done.
Yes.
Find your people. Every single person I've talked to has said that, like in the trenches. And they've all said, you don't need 50 people. You need 2 to 5 people that you truly can go to and that you are truly raw, real, telling every single detail where they know, like you said, like they're not afraid of the dark, they're not afraid of the messy. And that has been literally the common thing across every interview I've done. And so, and everybody that said, like, how do you get through it? Having your people, having your people, and not being afraid to continuously open up. And you have to tell them. So one of the best pieces of advice I actually ever heard was, I heard a speaker one time and she said, unasked advice is criticism.
What? So good. Say it again.
And I know. I was like, okay, unasked advice is criticism. So if somebody's coming to me about a problem or about something and I'm so like, go into fix it mode. Oh, you need to do this. Or have you thought about this? Or have you thought about this? No, you need to listen and just be. And let them be and let them learn. And when they ask you for advice, that is when you solve the problem. But until you don't, and I was like, and that to me is like the biggest way to pick your people in a season apart. Because if they're just fix, and like you said, switch to another season, and that's okay. They could be the best thing ever, but that's okay. But anyways, that line changed my perspective on everything. Because when I think back to my people in hard times, mm-hmm. they were the ones that were just there.
Yep. Yep.
That I wasn't going to the ones that were fixing it.
No.
Mm-hmm. How do you keep a positive spirit and a spirit of looking to the next thing and being okay with a new beginning in a hard time?
Yeah. Okay. So I remember who I am. I know this is so cheesy, but I had somebody say this to me 2 weeks ago. I went and I went with a group of girlfriends and we went and did like a speaker women's coach thing. And like, remember who the heck you are. And sometimes I would used to say that to myself when I was
remember
on a
run. The heck you are. That's all we need to know from this whole podcast. Remember who the heck
remember you are. Remember who you are. Like, you are the girl who got through that thing. You are the girl who like cried yourself to sleep that night and the next day still crushed it. You know, you do remember who in the heck you are. And I think that that is just, even when I have nothing, you know, even when my studio is closed and like I was home every day and then I got pregnant and I was like so sick. I was like, remember who in the heck you are. You've got this, you know, and there's just no, challenges are terrifying. But at the same time, I know I have myself and I trust myself the end of the world. And I know I have my tribe and I trust my tribe to the end of the world. And I know I've got my family and I trust them. And like I fight for people and therefore I have people in my life who fight for me. And so just remember who in the heck you are. And so when I'm going through hard stuff, number one, I remember who I am. And number two, like I never lose my sense of humor. I mean, it's just, there are so many things. There's so many things in this world every single day that can make you laugh. And if you're in such a grumpy mood that you don't even let like little joys in life make you laugh a little bit, come on, you know? And so I actually learned that from my dad. So my dad, in one of our horse barns that we have, there's like this little nest of baby chipmunks. And my dad is like 6'4", you know, business retired man, like, you would never know it. And he, one day we were like out doing stuff with the, like just feeding the horses. And he goes, look how cute this little nest of chipmunks are. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, look how cute they are. Like, oh, look at this one. Oh, he's running away. And I was like, oh my gosh, my retired businessman father studies the baby chipmunks at our horse barn. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's just like, there's just joy in every little moment. And you know, don't forget that. Don't forget like just the silly things, like the person standing at the crosswalk and just like that they're funny and they're you know what I mean? It's like, we don't have to make fun of them, but just like appreciate the fact that every single person is just, Yeah.
Well, so your previous career, you told us about you were a speaker mm-hmm. and how did you pivot to change to a career? Like what was that adjustment like? Because a lot of people, I mean, I recruit for the College of Liberal Arts at Auburn. So one thing we talk about often is like most people are going to change into their career, but like a lot of times you never know which way that's going to go. So tell us about changing to totally different careers and how that worked.
Totally different. And so, okay, there's three things I want to say right now. Number one, you're going to change your career so many times. And so the thing is when I started this, I didn't think like, this is what I will now do until I die. You know, I don't have that perception at all. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do until I either am not having fun anymore, or like I'm not benefiting it anymore, or until I think somebody else could do it better. You know, I'm going to do this as long as I can. Yeah. And so then, actually Jennifer Jacobs said that to me once. She said this to me when I was leaving my old company. She said, if somebody else can do your job, you're holding both of you back. And I was like, one second, I have to sit with that.
So many good lines in this. Like Yes.
If somebody else can do this job, you're holding both of you back. And so I walked away. And so I pivoted because number one, I knew I love speaking. And Tori, you said this at the very beginning, like my calling is to be a speaker. I will speak again. I know that that is something that I'm made to do. And I can't wait to see what that looks like. And I'm so thankful I'm not a speaker in 2020.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Oh my gosh. When everything started falling apart, I was like, praise.
Literally. Praise
the Lord. Yes.
No problem.
Oh gosh. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful I'm at where I'm at today. Oh my gosh. I didn't have an ounce twinge of like, oh man, I really miss. No, I'm like, Thank you, Jesus. That was the right choice. You know? And, I knew it because I kept wanting to start something. I wanted to build something. I wanted to create something. And I got really, really tired of, I was a good speaker and I was really good at sales. I was good at customer relationships, but nobody would ever, I felt like I was never really, people never thought I'd be good at the other stuff, like good at the operations, the day to day. And so I knew I wanted to try it. And actually Pamela Nix, the executive director of Capitalta, said to me, do the thing that you would be the worst at, like do the thing that you don't have on your resume. Because I had a couple of opportunities. I could have spoke at a corporate company that does corporate speaking. I was being recruited by other people to do like curriculum development in my field. Like I had multiple job offers on the table when I did leave my old company. And she literally said to me, do the job that isn't on your resume, because that's going to only build you up. That's going to buffer you up. Right. And if you think about it like a house, if your career is a house, you know, if you already have a chimney, you don't need another chimney. If you don't have a garage, you need a garage, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dang, Pamela Nix, brilliant. So that really did. I was like, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to do it. And I decided to pick Pure Barre because this is just a testament. You don't know what you can do until you see somebody else do it. I saw this other woman start a Pure Barre studio in Indiana when I was living there. The 6 months I was 4 blocks away from a Pure Barre studio and I would walk there and I just like, it was this cool community and she started it from scratch. It literally opened 2 weeks before I moved in. And I was like, okay, I want to do this. I want to create this back at home, you know? And, I picked Pure Barre specifically, because I love the workout. I picked Pure Barre because it's one of the most female owned franchises. So in the nation. And I picked Pure Barre because it's not super expensive startup costs. I still wanted to be independent and I've never really worked a 9-to-5 job where I have to be there at a certain time. And I still wanted that flexibility or that unknown. And so this literally answered every single one of my questions. Like, wow. And you know, I know I want to eventually, when I continue to speak, I want to talk about being an entrepreneur. I want to talk about business skills. I want to talk about wellness and health. And that's where I want to go as a speaker. And I knew like this checked a lot of those boxes because I was sitting there telling women, you know, you can do anything, you can start a business. And I had never done it. And I was ready to do it. You know,
I love that. Well, what's your favorite part of Pure Barre?
My favorite part of Pure Barre. Okay. So I'll go from a client. So I also love that I was a client before I was owned it. Just that first perspective, you love it so much more on the other side. Yeah. Okay. So I love three things. Number one, I love the workout. Oh my gosh. This is so stupid, but like it gives me the arms I want. It gives me the strength I want. It gives me the core I want. And I can do it when I'm pregnant. And I think that that's so cool that there's a workout that women can do when they're pregnant. I love the workout because a grandmother can do it with her granddaughter and they can do the same class. Like somebody doesn't have to go down the hall to the advanced class and make the other person feel left out or weak. Like it's just such a cool community for women, you know, where we are all doing the same thing together instead of these are the good people and these are the bad people. Like I just love that it can all be changed and modified for no matter who you are, where you are in your life. Second thing I love is I love the community. I love women. I love being around them. They're so inspiring to me and just being a part of this community. And, it's like starting a sorority. Like you create the culture, you create the vibe in there, you create the energy, you create the expectation of the way you treat customers, the way you treat your team. And it's just, I love that community aspect. And that was the one thing that I did really, really well when I worked for Capitalta did they have long-term, short-term goals? No, but they respected each other. They loved each other. And there's this community sense. Last thing that I just want to say from a fitness perspective guru here. I don't like that as women, we believe in order for us to get a good workout, we have to beat ourselves up that day. You know, like we almost have this, like, I didn't do anything good unless I ran until I cried or almost fainted because the weights I was, you know, I don't understand why we believe we have to beat ourselves up in order to be good, you know? And so that's what I love about Bar Fitness specifically, is because what you just said, like, I can take a light that day, I can go heavy. It's like, you're going to get a great workout and you don't need to be wobbling out of there, you know?
Okay. I love that because I feel like that about workouts, like you can sweat your brains out or you can feel good. And I like leaving a workout and feeling great. Like I like that. And I think most people do, but it's like this misconception. So I love that. Well, now I like want to go take a bar class like now. So
go do it. Go do it.
I did Butts and Guts earlier, but I'm like, now I got to go do my bar class. Okay. So I appreciate you being so honest about things you've gone through, but the real cool thing is you've pivoted and now you have this new beginning and this happiness and this joy that you probably years ago didn't know that you would get to this point, that you're just in like true joy. And like you said, the little things, the chipmunks, I mean, all of those types of things like have made such a difference. So I think often people think it's too late for that new life or to have the life of their dreams and to have the life that they've always wanted and know that they deserve. So what do you say to that? So it's a new year, new beginnings. What do you have to say to that?
Beautiful diamonds shine most brightly in the dark. You know, it's like, that's when you can really find the good stuff. And so don't ever be afraid of the dark. Like, don't be afraid to go down a path where you're not going to know what's going on. And I remember when I was in one of my really, really dark moments, I remember just having this like clarity. Like I heard, wait till 2020, like wait till 2020. And like in the middle of 2020, I was like, what the heck is this? But like, I mean, 2020 ended. My business is this beautiful thing that inspires me every day that I wake up. I can't wait to work on. I can't wait to see my people. I can't wait to text my team. I have a marriage and a home that is something I fought so hard for. And it's like, we're so rewarding. And I get to be a mom, you know, and all I had to do was stick in the storm for 3 years. And so it's 3 years. Yeah. And it's so worth it. Cause right now, if I had stayed on that path, I don't know what, you know, I would not be as happy as I am today. And right now, 1 minute is worth five of my old minutes.
I love that. And I love how just like stick to it, man. And just know that it's like, it's never too late. Like it's never too late. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're comfortable. It doesn't matter. Like life is going to have transitions and we can either listen to those voices in our head that push us to something new or we can stay comfortable. And I think if COVID's taught us anything, it's challenged a lot of people that were used to comfortable to maybe do something new. But it's also really, I think, opened people's eyes that things can change and that's okay. And things are going to be thrown at you and that's okay. So you're really passionate about women pursuing their dreams and their passions and the things that they want to do and have dreamed about their whole lives or are a new dream that they come up with. Like Pure Bar, you didn't wake up one day when you were 5 years old and say you wanted to do Pure Bar. It just, you know, happened and over time. So what's your biggest advice for someone that has a vision and they see this thing, but they don't know how to get there. And how should they start?
Okay. So I think number one, I think look at the other people who inspire you and figure out what you want to do different. For example, this podcast story, right? It'd be so easy for you to be like, I want to start a podcast. And for a million people to be like, oh, well, this person does a good one and this person does a good one. And for you to look at these amazing things and be like, I'm never going to be that good. So look at the amazing things that other people are doing and think, I love that, but here's how I want to put my Tory touch on it, right? Here's how I want to put my touch and make that different. Number two, just start doing it. Oh, the first one is going to be garbage. You know what I mean? Like the first post, the first on Instagram, the first one is just, it's not going to be perfect. And I'm actually struggling. My sister's starting like a little, like a tiny, tiny little necklace company right now. And she is like, oh my gosh, but I don't want to do this because it's not perfect. And I'm like, it's not going to be perfect. The first one's not.
And people like that.
Yes. Yeah. And like, just perfect. No. And just do it. Just rip the bandaid off. Do your first one. Do your first post. Do your first podcast. Do the first one. And then do the second, you know, and just start. And then also like, one of my team members this summer, started a plant company. So she like pots, like, you know, plants are so trendy right now.
They're like,
you
know, I'm terrible. I can't keep anything alive.
I know. I literally killed a cactus and it was like impossible to kill. And so, but she started it and it's so easy. You just have to kind of go and like cover your eyes and just walk into the fire. You're going to be fine. You know, the reason that somebody said this to me when I started Pure Bar, they're like 90% of people fail because they just stop trying. Like, isn't that crazy? So it was, if you just don't stop trying, like, then you're not going to fail.
It's just consistency and not giving up. I mean, like, I think about so many things in life that either I gave up on or that people that you were like, God, if they would have stuck that out, they mm-hmm. were made for that.
Yeah.
They didn't get to the good stuff.
Speaking of which, Shori, that just reminds me, my blog, like that whole world I want to come back to. I just am like trying to find my voice again. So you're inspiring me too. Okay.
Get back to the blog, girl. Never too late. I read all the blogs, which is a lot of where I learned even more about your story. And so yeah. I have to have her talk about this because,
okay,
so talking about your blog and Pure Bar and everything, where can people find you if they want some KJ inspiration?
I think number one, if you find me on Instagram, I have a link to my blog. You'll be able to follow along with everything going on. My Instagram is kind of like my homepage for everything. And it's literally my name. It's KJ McNamara is my handle. And my blog is KJ's blog. It's soeasy.com.
KJ's
and
so, blog. I love it. Keep it simple.
Easy peasy.
Okay. So wrapping up, I ask a question to everyone. It's my favorite question to ask because it's where I learn about everything. So tell us three of your current favorites, must-haves, recommendations that all the people need to know about.
Number one, I think one thing I've tried to do lately in the past 3 years, and it's so funny because now we're in the middle of COVID, is to step up my pajama game. And I know that's so weird, but because we just all sleep in like nasty t-shirts from whenever, but you will be surprised how like a good pajama will change your whole life. And so my favorite recommendation to start with is step up your pajama game.
I know it's someone weird. Else said that. It yeah. must be like a real legit thing.
It's a legit. So, I mean, maybe it's because I'm pregnant and my first trimester was like, I was not okay. I was sick the whole time. Yeah. I just like stayed in bed all the time. I worked from bed. I did everything from there. But I mean, step up your pajama game. It will change your whole life. And so my favorite pair to start with would be Nordstrom makes it. So their matching set, it's a $65 set, which is expensive, but they do go on sale for like holiday and for their anniversary. Yeah. But it's like, it's called like, they're very classic. It's called Nordstrom Lingerie, like classic pajama. And start there. Okay. Number one.
I ordered those like yesterday. Like yesterday.
They have right now, they have a really cute leopard pair, leopard print. It's like a nice subtle leopard print. It's not anything like.
Well, leopard. I like extreme leopard print. So okay. I will definitely like those.
Okay. And then like, yeah. So step up your pajama game. It'll change your whole life. Next favorite thing I'm going to say is my current favorite hair mask. And so when I went through deep, dark, around about whatever, my hair actually got really, really garbagey because like, you know, blondes, it's hard to keep that stuff shiny.
It's a lot, but we got to do it.
I know. And so Amika has this, it's called Amika, Amika. They have this hair mask called Soul Food and it has this smell. Like it's the way I wish I could smell. It's like almost like, I want to say it's like a clay smell, but leave it in the shower for 3 minutes while you're shaving your legs. It will change your whole life.
Okay. now I'm going to go get that because I have been so curious about a hair mask, but I didn't even know how they worked. Mm-hmm. And so now that I know I can do this, just the 3 minutes, I can do it. I'm going to go order it and I'm going to tell you my hair's going to look new in the new year.
Okay. So in Tori, what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to be about the proteins and I don't even know. I don't care. But, but some people don't use conditioner. They'll shampoo and condition. As a blonde, I say shampoo, condition, mask.
We got a condition.
Got a condition.
We have coarser hair.
Yeah. And it's more porous. There's holes in it. And then my final one. Okay. Here it is. I'm going for it. I've had a lot of women reach out to me asking me about my ring. So everyone, my wedding ring right now is hands down the most favorite thing I own. It's beautiful.
They can't see it, but let me see it.
You've never seen it? It's just...
Oh my gosh.
And so here's the deal. My center stone is embarrassing. It's very big. Yeah, you just saw it, right? That's big.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
And so a lot of people ask me like, okay, how did you put it together? How did you da-da-da? And so I'm just going to put in a plug for this company. Number one, there's a lot of different ways that you can get a ring. And I'm very encouraging of all those things. Number two, I would encourage you to buy everything separately. So Austin got the setting, from a local company by where his family's home is, but he got the stone from somebody else. And so I just want to talk about this company for 3 seconds. So this company is called the Diamond Foundry and they're out of LA and their whole mission is to take like the blood out of diamonds, like, and to sell diamonds at market value and to literally save lives by changing the diamond industry. Because the diamond industry is one of those things that there's like so much shady stuff going on in there. Does that make sense? And so I just want to say the Diamond Foundry, everyone. He got the center stone here from there. I was able to get exactly what I wanted for a price that was way less than what I had anticipated, if that makes sense. And so I just want you to be smart and you don't have to do it the way everybody tells you to do it, but you can get exactly what you want if you're a smart shopper. And so Diamond Foundry, that's my favorite. It's my favorite thing I own.
Really good advice. I personally like when a girl gives the idea of what she wants for a ring. I like shopping for a ring with Josh. I mean, he knew what I wanted and then he designed it. But like a lot of girls like think it has to be like this like independent surprise. Each to their own. Everyone's situation is different. But like I personally am like, I'm wearing this, so I'd like to have an idea. But that's okay. Just me.
And so this is one of my favorite things that I think makes people uncomfortable. But I like to give, I've done it twice, so I have a little bit more perspective. And so the first time, literally, I didn't do anything.
So it was a surprise. You had no clue what it would look like.
Mm-mm. The only thing is he asked one of my friends, white gold or yellow gold.
That's it.
Yeah. And this is so terrible. And I don't want to say this, but like the whole 5 years we were together, I was like, this is not it. This is not it.
It's so true though. I think people don't admit that. But like when I look at mine, I'm like, it's exactly what I wanted. I wanted diamonds around the band and I wanted a diamond. Now, granted, you're excited.
Yes.
But for me, it's like, I've always been the biggest firm believer that marriage, when you get married, when you get engaged, all that should be a decision together. Yeah. A lot of people think it should be a shocking surprise. That's just not my personality. Mm-hmm. But each their own. I think I'm so glad you said that. So now is this ring, are you like, every day?
Okay. So here's how this one went down. I sent a picture to my best friend, one of the friends who was in the dark with me through the whole process, of the setting. And I was like, I love this setting. And when he went through my phone and found the picture, cause he's a smart man.
Ask the girl what they want.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he said he loved it because it looks like a sunflower. And I I'm a sunflower, you know? And he's like, I loved that setting. So I just went with that. But then when he was like talking kind of to me about it, Tori, I'm so excited to tell you this. I'm like, okay, well, look at this company, the Diamond Foundry, because you're going to get a center stone, and don't buy it from them because you're not going to get the center stone that I deserve.
Yeah. Deserve, girl.
And so then he's like, okay, great. And I was like, what's your budget? And then I swear I've Venmo'd him money for my center stone. I was like, I like supersized my meal. Does that make sense?
That is, oh my gosh. That's the best. That is so funny.
I just was like, okay, that's really great. If I'm going to wear this forever, which I'm in this forever, you know.
You promote him, buddy. I love it.
I'm going to get what I want.
I love it. Listen, and you look at it every day and you're like, maybe I did this.
Uh-huh. Well, and I'm just like, it's us. It's not just like.
Yeah. And I'm sure like, you know, in the second time, you have a different perspective. Like you see it differently. You probably, I would think in a second marriage, I mean, I plan on being with Josh forever, but like, I would assume in the second marriage, like your perspective is different and the things that you probably worried about the first time, it doesn't matter.
Okay. So Tori, last thing, he proposed and I didn't look at the ring and I thought, and I looked at him in the eyes and I was like, is this what I want? Like, prayed for a second. I was like, is this actually what you want? Or are you just saying yes because you feel pressure? And I was like, no, this is 100% what I want. And I listened to what he said. And then I looked at the ring and I screamed. I was so, this is it, you know?
It was worth it.
That's the thing is it's like, I was like, here's some money, supersize it. Thank you. And it wasn't a lot. It was just like a little like a bump, you know? And that moment that I looked down at that box, I was like, that's why you work for what you want, is because when you work for it, it's instead of expecting somebody else to do all the work, you're going to get exactly what you want.
So. I love that. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's so funny. Well, people are going to think that is so funny and you're going to change the game because now everyone's going to be that buying their diamonds. They're going to be Venmo into super size and all the things. That is so, that's so good. Well, KJ, I just want to wrap up and say you're the best. I appreciate you so much. Well, thank you, KJ. You inspire me always. I appreciate you and love you. And we will chat soon.
Oh my gosh. So good. This is more fun for me because I just got to hang out with you for an hour. So thank you. Yes, girl.
Yeah, girl.
Proud of you for this podcast. Love it. Love the episode. See you soon.
Thanks. Mwah. Love you.
If our episode today touched you, inspired you, or brought you some good laughs, we would be honored if you subscribed to the Talk with Tori podcast and left us a quick review. This will give others who are scrolling through the podcast apps the ability to find us. Please share this with all the people in your life so more friends can hear our stories. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope this episode brought you joy, love, and spice.